B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim Daf Mem. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein shoyrin es hamurson letarnagoylim. One is not allowed to soak the murson, which is the bran of the grains, letarnagoylim, in order for the chickens for their food. Abel Chilton, one is allowed to scald them. If you just soak them, there's a good chance they're going to become chometz. You're not allowed to do that on Pesach. But if you scald them with boiling water, then they will not have the time to become chometz. And the very fact that it goes through a process of being boiled stops it becoming chometz. And therefore, that is allowed. Continues the Mishnah. Ho'isha loitashre es hamurson. A woman is not allowed to soak the murson, which is also something, some part of the grain, which she would use to wipe her, shetoylich biyodo lemerchatz, to take with her to the bathhouse, or something they used in order to clean themselves with. Aval sofahi bibsoro yovish, but she's allowed to take dried murson and rub it onto her body. And this is true even though her body is still damp, is still wet, and the Rishonim discuss whether it's damp with water, and if that's what it means, then why is there no problem of the Morson becoming chometz? Does it mean it's from sweat, and sweat doesn't make chometz? It's a discussion in the Rishonim. Continues the Mishnah, Lo yilois odom chitin, a person is not allowed to chew grains of wheat, v'yaniach al makosoi, and then put it onto his wound, mipnei shehin machmitzois, because he's going to make them, they will become chometz, and one's not allowed to make chometz and use chometz on Pesach. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Eilu devorim she'ein boim lidei chimutz. The following will guarantee that a food item made of grains will no longer be able to become chometz. Either ha'ofui, once a bread has been baked, and in the event that it did not become chometz in the process running up to the baking and through the baking, once something is baked, it will no longer ferment and become chometz. V'hamavushal, or if something has been cooked, after it's been properly cooked and it's not yet chometz, it will not become chometz at any point after that. V'hacholot shecholto b'roischin, or if they scalded the grains with the grains of the wheat, of the barley, of whatever grains they are, if you scalded them at any point, then from that point on, the very fact that they've been scalded with boiling water, they will not be able to become chometz anymore after that. Says the Gemara, Mevushal adam mevashali mechamea. How can you say here that one of the things that will prevent something becoming chometz is if you cook it? It's true that once it's cooked, it will no longer be able to become chometz, but whilst it's being cooked, then it's slowly warming up. Of course, that's the time it's going to become chometz. And if you're saying that you put the grains or the flour into the water once it's boiling, that's what cholut shecholtu b'roischin means. So what does mevushal mean? It's going to become fermented and become leavened and chometz whilst it's cooking. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Papa, ha'ofui shebishlei ka'omar. It's not two things. Ha'ofui v'hamavushal, either something baked or something cooked will not become chometz. That's not what the Braisa means. What the Braisa means is ha'ofui v'hamavushal, if you baked it, and even if after that you cooked it, after it's been baked, it will not become chometz anymore. Continues the Gemara, Tanya. Rabbi Yosi bi Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kemach shenofal l'toichoi d'laf. If you have dripping water, if you have a bowl of flour and there's a leak in the ceiling or whatever situation may be, and water is dripping onto the flour, we know that water and flour, that's what constitutes chometz if it becomes leavened. The quest says the Rabbi Yosi bi Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, Afilu kol hayom kuloi, even if all day long the water is dripping onto the flour, Einei bo lidei chimutz, it's not going to become chometz. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa now explains why should that be true. V'hu d'ovid tif lehadetif. He says we're talking about that it's a constant dripping. It's drip after drip after drip. And then virtue of the fact that the constant pounding of the drips, the pounding stops the flour becoming chometz, as we've learned previously with the menachos. When you're working on the flour, then that stops the flour becoming chometz. And here, the constant dripping is going to prevent it. That pounding of the water onto the flour will stop it becoming chometz. But Rav Papa says, providing it's tifla de tif, it's one drop after the next, and there's no gap, there's no time for it to become chometz between one drip and the next. Continues the Gemara. Omri de Beir of Shila. Vatiko. Vatiko is some type of food made of flour. Shori, it's mutter to make it on Pesach and to use it on Pesach. Votani, even though it's made with flour, asks the Gemara, Votani, we learned in the Braisa, Vatiko Osur, that this food item containing flour is Osur on Pesach. Says the Gemara, Loikashia. Hod of the B'mishcha, when it says that it's mutter, they said in the Beir of Shila that Vatiko is mutter, is talking about they made it with oil. It was, the flour was kneaded with oil, and or there was no water in it, there was oil in it. And we know that oil isn't machmitz. Mei peiris ein machmitzin. B'mishcha u'milcha. He made it with oil and salt. Oh, but when it says in the Braisa that Vatiko is asur, the avdi b'maya u'milcha, that's when they used water and salt. And since they used water, it can become chometz. And therefore, it's asur on Pesach. Continues the Gemara, Omar Marzutra. Lo limchi inish kadeiro. Kadeiro is a pot of food, a dish that's being made, and sometimes a person wants to thicken the food. So what does he do? He puts flour into the food, and that thickens it a bit. So Marzutra says you should not thicken the pot of food bekimcha with flour. De avishno. De avishno is oven-dried grains. Dilma loy boshel shapir. Maybe whilst you were drying or toasting the grains, maybe they didn't become properly cooked or baked. And now when you put them into the dish, into the hot water, then it's going to become chometz. And therefore, it can become chometz. And we're obviously taking into account that there's a possibility that the pot or the food, the item that you're putting this flour into, is not boiling. If this food is already boiling, then we said before, that's called chalita, and putting flour into boiling water, it will not become chometz. But since this pot may not be boiling water, and therefore if you put in this kimcha da avishna, there's a possibility that this grains have not been fully toasted and baked, and therefore putting it into this tavshil will make it chometz, and therefore Marzutra says you should not do that. Omar of Yosef, loy lichloit inish, a person should not scald trei chiti, two kernels of wheat, behadi adodi together. If he wants to scald the wheat, he should do it kernel by kernel. Why? Dilma ozli chode v'yosu b'tzirei d'chaverto. The kernels of wheat, they have a crevice, a crack inside them, and there's a possibility that the one wheat, one kernel, will sit inside the crack of another one. V'lo solik luhu dikula d'maya. The bubbling, boiling water will not reach into the place, into that crack, in that crevice within the wheat. Me'ar baruchoisa, that means the water will not reach all four sides of this wheat kernel. V'osi ledei chimutz, and then it can become chometz. Obviously, whilst the water is bubbling and boiling, it reaches the whole wheat, as we said before, that if it's, that v'cholot shecholtu baroischen, it will then no longer be able to become chometz. Continues the Gemara of Omar Abaya. A person should not singe two stalks of wheat together. Maybe some moisture will come out of the kernels in one stalk of the wheat whilst it's being singed and go into, be absorbed into the kernels in the other stalk. And this moisture will make the kernels in the other stalk become chometz. Omar li Rava. Rava responded to Abaya, Yehoch yafil chod enami. Then even a single stalk you shouldn't be able to singed as a full stalk. Dilma nofki maya nofki mehai resha. Maybe some of the juices, the moisture, will seep out of the kernels at the top of the stalk. Ubola idach resha. And the other side of the stalk, the bottom of the stalk, the kernels there are going to absorb the moisture that seeped out from the top of the stalk. So even with one stalk, you should not singe on Pesach, or before Pesach, it might become chometz. Elo Omar Rava. Rava says may peiris ninhu. This moisture that comes out of the kernels whilst being singed is not water. It's the juices of some type of a fruit, or in this case a grain, and juices of grains are called may peiris, and we know that they're not machmitz. Or may peiris ain machmitzin. V'hadar be'abaya me'ahi. Abaya himself retracted from his opinion. He said at the beginning that you should not singe two stalks together. He changed his mind, but for a different reason. He didn't say the reasoning of Rava that may peiris ain machmitzin. Rather, dechol agav midlayhu loy machmitzi. As long as the juices, the moisture, is in transit and is moving along, then whilst it's flowing, it will not make anything else chometz. Only once it's absorbed and becomes like in a dough and it's absorbed in the grain, then it can become chometz. And here, since we're talking about that the juices are flowing from one side to the next, since they're flowing down, they're in transit, they're in movement, therefore they will not make anything chometz. That we'll just assume that the juices will just flow down, they may touch the other kernels and continue flowing down, and they will not get absorbed, and they'll just flow away. The Omar Abaya, where did Abaya say this? He said, Hai chatzva de avishno. This jug that was used for toasting grains, then sachifa shari. If this jug, this bowl, this vessel is upside down, which means that there's no receptacle, that means whilst you're toasting the grains, somehow, I don't know how this jug looked like, but if somehow the juices that are coming out of the kernels are just let to flow away, then it's okay. Zakifa, however, if this jug is the right way round, and whilst toasting the kernels, the juices that come out are going to collect at the bottom of the jug, then osir, since the water can settle and will be collected there, they will then be absorbed into the other kernels and they can become chometz. So Abaya holds that these juices could make chometz. Not like Rava, who said that it's mei peiris and mei peiris ein machmitzin. He just said that all the while that the water, that these moisture, these juices have where to flow to, they will not be absorbed. Rava Omar afilu zekifa nami shari, and Rava obviously says that even if this jug is in the right way round and the juices are going to be collected and the kernels could absorb those juices, it's still muta because may peiris ninu. Rava says these are considered may peiris, or may peiris ein machmitzin, they do not make anything chometz. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, ein loisasin sa'irin bepesach. One is not allowed to soak kernels or grain of barley on Pesach. Ve'im losas, if this person did soak grains of barley on Pesach, nisbaku, if these grains started splitting, that means they started getting bloated because of the water that's been absorbed in them, asurais, then we take it for granted that it's very quick for them to then become chometz. The very fact they absorb the water does not yet mean it's chometz. There are signs of what makes something chometz, which we're going to learn about later on in the Masechta. How do you know something is chometz? What do grains that became chometz look like? But the fact that they've just become bloated is not yet a reason to believe that there was not yet an assumption that it's chometz. But they can easily become chometz, and therefore asurais, you should not use them. Lo nisbaku, if however the grains themselves did not crack, mutaris, then it's muta. Rabbi Yossi says, shayron b'chometz, that if you soak these grains in vinegar, even after they've become somewhat bloated, and you can see they absorb the water, if you then soak these grains, these kernels, in vinegar, v'chometz tzimtzason, the vinegar makes them contract again, and which is the reverse of the bloating of the absorbing of the water, and that will then stop the grains becoming chometz, and then it's okay. Omar Shmuel in alochik Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel, however, argued with Rabbi Yossi and said that soaking them in vinegar afterwards is not sufficient, and as soon as you see that they've become nisbaku, you can see they're starting to split, you should not use them. Omar of Chizda, Omar Mar Ukva. Rav Chizda said, Loi nisbaku mamash. It doesn't have to be that they actually started splitting and cracking in order for them to be osser. But if you can see that they're bloated enough, that had you put them on the mouth of a wine barrel, and from the smell of the wine, the scent of the wine, the grains would then have cracked on their own, they would crack, then it's already reason to believe that they're very soon going to become chometz and they're osser. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel argued with that and said, Nispaku mamash, they're only osar on Pesach if they're actually cracked, but if they're just bloated enough that they would crack if you put them on the mouth of a wine barrel, nonetheless, they're not yet osar. Ovar Shmuel, Uvda, Bedura, Debei Bar Choshu. In the settlement where the household of Bar Choshu lived, Shmuel actually ruled, according to his opinion, Nispak Umamish. That means there was an incident there where somebody actually soaked these kernels and they did become bloated and they would have cracked had they been put on a wine barrel. And nonetheless, Shmuel said, since they themselves have not yet cracked open, you are allowed to use them on Pesach. Omar Rabba. Rabbi said, Baal Nefesh, a pious, conscientious person who doesn't want to come anywhere near, even remotely come close to a possibility of an Aveira, Lo Yilsois, should not soak these grains. Asks the Gemara, My Iria Baal Nefesh, why should only a Baal Nefesh not soak these grains? Afilukula al Manami, anybody shouldn't soak grains. D'artanya, did we not learn Ein Loisus in Soir and Bepesach? We just learned before, a few lines back, it's also to soak the wheat, the barley kernels on for and on Pesach. So why are you saying here that only a Baal Nefesh, a conscientious person, shouldn't do it? Answers the Gemara, Hochi Ka'omar. This is what Rabbi meant. A Baal Nefesh, afilu chitin, even wheat kernels, the shriri, they are harder and it takes much longer for them to become chometz. Nonetheless, lo yiltsois, he should not soak them. That means nobody is allowed to soak barley kernels, but a regular person would allow themselves to soak wheat kernels. A Baal Nefesh wouldn't take the risk. Omerli. So he said back to Rabbi, Rav Nachman, Omale Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rabba, Man de tzayis leila abba. Anybody who's going to listen to you, Rabba, Ochil namo de ipusha, is going to end up eating of spoilt or unclean bread. Because if you can't soak the grains are not clean. And making bread is going to make a bread which is dirty, which is unclean. The Hobe Rav Huna lossesi. I mean, and this is Rav Nachman continuing to tell Rabba, in the home of Rav Huna, they would soak the wheat grains. Ube Rava Barovin lossesi, and in the home of Rava Barovin also they would soak the wheat grains. And you Rabba are saying that a Baal Nefesh should not soak even the wheat grains. So that was the opinion of Rabba. Rabba said, that means we've had so far that barley grains no one should soak. The wheat grains, Rabba's opinion was, a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Rav Nachman said a Baal Nefesh doesn't have to be Machmir. Or he commented and brought examples of people that were not Machmir. Rava Omar also lil sois. Rava says that it's also for everybody, for anybody, to soak even the wheat kernels. Elo hod tanya ein loisus in soirin bepesach. Then we're asking a question. This that it says in the Braisa, and the first wide line that we started with now, that you're not allowed to soak barley kernels b'Pesach. So'irin hu deloy hochiti shori. It seems that only barley kernels are not allowed to be soaked because they are so quick to become chometz. But the wheat kernels, they don't become chometz so quickly, and the Braisa doesn't say it's osur. Says the Gemara, loy mi boya ka'omar. It's actually the other way around. Loy mi boy, you can take it for granted that chitin, that regarding the wheat grain, kiven de ispe tzire, since they have the crevices that we mentioned at the beginning of the Omer, they have these cracks inside them, ailibu maya, and water can easily enter the kernels, that of course you shouldn't soak them. Aval sa'ori, but the kernels of barley, deshi, they are very smooth, ema shapir domi, I may have thought in that case, you are allowed to soak them. Kumash Malon the Bryce is saying that even kernels of barley are not allowed to be soaked. So beforehand we had Rabba, who understood that barley kernels are easier to become chometz and is also for everyone, wheat kernels that are hard, that only bali nefesh or machmir. And here we have Rava, who says the opposite. He says that wheat kernels, it's taken for granted that you're not allowed to soak them. The Brice is saying that even barley kernels you're not allowed to soak, and everybody is included in this. You're not allowed to soak any wheat or barley kernels for Pesach. That is the opinion of Rava. Continues the Gemara. Hadar Omar Rava. Rava retracted from his opinion. A few lines earlier he said it osar to soak the wheat kernels, and now he says mutter lilsois. I'm not saying you have to, but it's mutter to. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, Yoitzin bepas nekia. The Braisa says you can be Yoitza, the mitzvah of matzah, with clean bread, with fine bread, v'hadra, and with coarse bread. V'yefsh nekia b'loy lesisa. How can you have pas nekia? How can you have clean bread if you couldn't soak the kernels first to clean them? So the Braisa says you're allowed to eat matzah from pas nekia, it must be that you could soak the kernels before. Eser of Papa LaRava. Now Rav Papa is going to ask a question on Rava. You, Rava, take it for granted that it's not possible to have clean bread unless you soak the kernels before. We saw in a brisa, Hakimchin, the flour, Vasoltois, and the fine flour, Shel Nochrim, if they come from Goyim, then as follows, Shel Kforim, if they come from the villages, Tahirin, then we assume they have not become in contact with water in any way, and they are not susceptible to becoming tomei. And since they're not susceptible to becoming tomei, nothing could make them tomei, therefore they are toher. V'shel krochin, however, from the cities, where there the wheat, there would the flour would have come into contact, or the grains would have come into contact with water, and therefore they are susceptible to becoming tomei, and therefore tomeim, you have to assume them to be tomei. Says the Gemara, the kforim, the flour that came from the goyim in the villages, maitam alav, why can we assume that they're not tomei? Mishum deloy lososi, because they didn't soak them. V'kokori lei soiles, the Braisa says explicitly, if you have flour or soiles, which is fine flour, if it came from the villages, they're toher because water never came into contact with them. How do you have a case of fine flour that water never came into contact with? So Rav Papa is saying, I see from here that it's possible to have clean bread even without water coming from it. So what was your proof, Rava, that it's mutter, that you're allowed to soak the wheat kernels in water, from the fact that you can be yotze matzah with clean bread, with pas nekia? Maybe it was clean bread without water going to it, as we saw there from the villages. Answers the Gemara, Tirguma Akimcha. That the according to Rava, he's going to read this braisa as follows. Hakimchen is the regular flour. Vasoiles is the fine flour, shel nochrim. Then shel kforim, if it's from the villages, then soltois, the fine flour, of course it's going to be osar, because it's only fine flour because it's been cleaned. And if it's been cleaned, it's come into contact with water. But the kemach, which is not fine flour, it's more coarse, then in the villages, tohirim, because we assume that water hasn't come into contact with them. V'shel krochim, tumeim, and in the cities, even the kemach, the non-fine flour, is tomei. However, the Rav is going to understand that soiles, even in the villages, are going to be tomei, or have to be assumed to be tomei. Basa denofik, after Rava left, Omar, Rav Papa said to himself that it's a shame that I asked Rava a question. I tried to refute him from the braisa that I did of Akimchim Vasaltois, because I should have refuted him from a much better source. My tam aloy emalei meho. Why didn't I refute him from the following? The Omar Abzeir Omar of Yirmiya Omar Shmuel. It was said in the name of Shmuel. Chitin shel menochis. The wheat that was used for the Korban Mincha in the Beis HaMikdosh, Ein loisasim oisam. They would not soak them. V'kakori luhu soiles. We know that the flour used for the Mincha is very fine flour. It's soiles. The Pasuk calls it soiles. And nonetheless, the halacha is, says Shmuel, Ein loisasim, that you don't soak them. So you, Rava, how can you assume that fine flour, fine bread must have been soaked, or the kernels, the grains must have been soaked? How do you understand the menochis that are fine flour and they haven't been soaked? Hodor, so that was what Rav Papa said. It's a shame I didn't refute Rava from there. Hodor Amar Rava. Rava then retracted again. He started off saying it was osa to soak the kernels of the wheat kernels. And then he said it's mutter to soak the kernels. And now Rava retracted again and said, not only is it mutter, mitzvah lil sois. In order to make matzah, there's a mitzvah to actually soak the kernels of the wheat that you're using before you make matzah. You should, it's a mitzvah to do that. Shenemar. It says in the pasuk as follows, Ushmartem es ha-matzois, you have to guard the matzois. Ki be'etzem ha-yem hazeh o'teis yasi v'yseichem eretz mitzayim, Ushmartem es ha-yem hazeh o'der o'yseichem chukas o'ilam. So the pasuk says, Ushmartem es ha-matzois, you have to guard the matzois. Now, basically, so when you speak about guarding matzois, of course you guard it from becoming chometz. Now, we have to take into account the very fact that it's called matzah already determines that you know on an absolute way that it's not chometz. So that's clear that it's only matzah if it's not chometz, and if you want matzah, you better make sure it doesn't become chometz. But from Ushmaratim es ha-matzois, we learn not only that the chometz mustn't be, that not only that the matzah mustn't become chometz, but there's actually a mitzvah or a chiyuv to guard the matzah from becoming chometz. So the Gemara says, Ushmaratim es ha-matzois, you have to guard the matzahs. Iloi deboi lesisa shimur lemai. So how are matzahs made? You take flour with water, you knead them together, and then you bake them. From the point that flour is put, the water is put with the flour, of course it could become chometz, and you have to make sure it doesn't become chometz, otherwise you simply don't have matzahs, you have chometz. That means there's no matzah in the world that didn't go through the stages of kneading. And there's no kneading without having water in it. So from there, the point of, that means the regular stages of matzah require that water gets put with flour and that you make sure it doesn't become chometz. I don't need a posuk to tell me, guard the matzahs. If it says guard the matzahs, it must be that we have a situation that we are, so to speak, we're exposing the matzah to an ability to potentially being able to become chometz, and then the Torah says, guard that it doesn't become chometz. That means create a situation where you have to protect and guard this dough from becoming chometz beyond what you have to do just in order to make a matzah, which is kneading. So it says, Iloi deboi lesisa, if you wouldn't need to soak the grains before, and then because you've soaked them and the grains have now become into contact with water, guard them, they don't become chometz, then shimur lamai, why do I need to say that you have to guard them, that it doesn't become chometz? If you don't need to do the soaking and you just do the kneading, of course you have to make sure it's not chometz. I shimur delisha, if the only type of guarding, or if the only point that you have to protect and guard this dough that it doesn't become chometz is only from kneading, shimur delisha lav shimurhi. I don't need to tell you that you have to guard the chometz. The pasuk doesn't need to say ushmartem es ha-matzos, guard and protect the dough that it doesn't become chometz. Of course you have to do that, otherwise you don't have matzah. The Omer of Huna. And now we're going to prove that there's a point, there must be a point that you have to guard the matzahs beyond the stage of kneading. And just before we read the words of the Gemara, there are two ways of understanding this. When it says Ushmartem es ha-matzois, and we're going to soon see that you have to guard the matzah, l'shem matzas mitzvah. Anyone who's ever been into a matzah bakery has heard this. You have to guard, when you're guarding the matzah, you should guard it for the sake of matzahs not becoming chometz. Now, there's two things. There's one thing is make sure the dough doesn't become chometz. If it becomes chometz, you haven't got matzahs. There's another thing, that the act that I'm doing, I'm consciously, with awareness, I'm consciously now watching the dough, making sure it doesn't become chometz. And that's the mitzvah of guarding it. And this consciousness I'm doing with having in mind the l'shem matzas mitzvah. And now there are two options. Either at any point, from when water first comes into contact, or maybe even before, but let's take it from when water comes into contact with the flour until it's been baked, at some point during that process, make sure that you are consciously guarding the matzah, the shame matzah's mitzvah, in the shame of the mitzvah of matzah that it shouldn't become chometz, and you're doing that for a few seconds. And that's enough. I've done the mitzvah of guarding this dough for a few seconds. And that's besides the fact that I'll obviously determine that it's not chometz, because if it's chometz, it's not matzah. That's one option. The other option is that you have to guard this chometz even before. That means there's no, at this point, the Gemara is not entertaining the idea that that the Torah is telling you, you have to guard the chometz from when water first came into touch with it until the end. You have to do that l'shem mitzvah. The Gemara is not entertaining such an idea at this point. The Gemara says there's one of two options. Either you are doing the act of guarding with consciousness, l'shem mitzvah, you're doing that for any amount of time from when water came into contact with it for a few moments, not necessarily from when it was needed, or if that's not what the Torah means, and the Torah is nonetheless telling you to guard it, it must be that you're putting this flower, you're exposing it and making it vulnerable to water beyond what making matzahs would have demanded, and then the Torah says, I want you to guard the matzahs from, I want you to create such a situation and make sure that it does not become chometz from that point on. And then the Torah has told me something. It hasn't just said, make matzahs and make sure it's not chometz. No. Make this flour vulnerable, protect it from there right to the end of the process, and do that l'shem matzah. Those are the two options. So now we're going to prove that it's not that second option, maybe. Well, let's see. The Gemara is going to say as follows. D'omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said as follows. B'tzeikos shel nochrim. What happens if you purchase or if you receive ready kneaded doughs from goyim? And the goyim possibly are the ones that made the dough and you had nothing to do with it. You are 100% certain it's not chometz because any of the signs that say this dough would be chometz are not here, and those are signs we're going to learn in the Gemara later on. That means we know it's not chometz, and the water was put into the flour, it was clearly not guarded l'shem mitzvah. It was doughs belonging to goyim. Then what's the halacha? You know it's not chometz, you received it in its dough state, and all you're doing now is shaping it and possibly moistening it a little bit, making it a bit damp, and putting it into the oven. You're not doing more than that. So the halacha is, Odom emali kreison mehen, you're allowed to eat as much as you want. It's not chometz, you can eat it. It's not called shmura matzah, it's not matzah that has been shomur, at least at the stage when it was made into a dough. That stage was by goyim, it was not done l'shem mitzvah. Ubilvad sheyechol kezayis matzah ba'achroina, the last kezayis matzah, the matzah that was eaten with the korban pesach, the kezayis with which you're being mekayim mitzvah's matzah with it, that kezayis must be made with matzah that was shomor, that was protected, that was guarded against from becoming chometz, l'shem mitzvah. That you can't be yotza. You need to eat a kezayis, that last kezayis, you have to eat with a matzah that was mekayim ushmaratim as a matzah. Find yourself another kezayis that was not b'tzeikos shel nochrim, wasn't needed by the goyim, and eat that. So the Gemara says, ba'achroino in. It's only that last kezayis that you need to find from elsewhere because it hasn't been shomor lishmo, if it's b'tzeikos shel nochrim, b'rishoino loy. But all the other kezayisim, any other matzah you eat on Seder night, or over Pesach for that matter, is not a problem. You're allowed to eat it. My tama, why that last kezayis can you not use, but matzah that was made from b'tzeikos shel nochrim, mishum deloy avad bar shimur? Obviously, because it was not guarded. It was guarded for not being chometz, obviously. It didn't become chometz. But the guarding wasn't done consciously l'shem matzah's mitzvah. So the Gemara is asking, V'levid le'shimur me'afir ve'elech. So I don't understand. You received the doughs, then it's not yet been fully baked. There's a process, me'afir doesn't mean from after it's baked. We saw before, after it's baked, there's no shimur. It cannot become chometz anymore. But me'afir means the process of preparing for baking after it's been kneaded. The shaping, the preparing to be put into the oven and putting it into the oven. Just do a shimur at that stage. Take a few moments of consciousness and say, I am now protecting this dough from becoming chometz, l'shem mitzvah. That should be enough. Elolav, it must be that that's not sufficient. It must be that when the Pasuk says, Ushmaratim es hamatzos, it doesn't mean a few moments of conscious guarding. No, it must be that you need to guard beyond right from the beginning, but not just from the kneading stage, because that goes without saying that you have to make sure it's not chometz. If there's an active mitzvah, protect it, and a few moments of consciousness. That means the mitzvah is not consciousness. The mitzvah is guarding. And guarding from when water comes into touch with it cannot be a mitzvah, because that's the essence of matzah, is that it doesn't become chometz. If there's a special mitzvah, it must be that you are exposing the flour or the kernels of grain, you're exposing something, you're exposing them to water beyond what making matzahs would have required, and that's what the mitzvah is, that expose it and make sure that you protect it from that point. Where would that be? Something before the kneading. What would that be? Soaking. And this was Rava's proof that there's a mitzvah from Ushmarta Misamatzis to soak the grains of wheat before you grinding them for flour for matzah. Elolav shma mino, shimur me'ikara be'inon. There's proof from here that you have to actually, the mitzvah of guarding is even before the kneading. Asks the Gemara. And now the Gemara is going to entertain the middle idea that maybe just make the matzahs, and of course you're right that if it becomes chometz, it's not matzah. But the mitzvah of the Torah is that the guarding that you're doing anyway to make sure it doesn't become chometz, do that l'shem matzahs mitzvah. V'umimai asks the Gemara, Dilma shani hasam, maybe that the reason b'tzeiko yisrael nochrim, you can't be yaitza, de be'idna denochis l'shem, or because from the point where water first came into contact with the flour, from the beginning of the kneading process, Loyovad bo shimori didn't do the shmira l'shem matzahs mitzvah, and that's why you cannot be yetzer the mitzvah with that dough. But you don't have a proof. Aval b'heicha de be'idna denochis l'shimur ovid le'shimur. But in the event that you did guard the matzah, which you'd had to do anyway, but from the point that water came in touch with the flour, you consciously guarded it from becoming chometz. Hochanami. The shimur delisha have a shimur. Then from that point on, which is only from kneading, not before, that's sufficient. And maybe that's why b'tzeiko yisrael nochrim, you're not yoitza. Because the kneading part with the shimur that was done from the kneading was not done the shem mitzvah. So how do you rather have proof that you actually have to soak these grains before using them for the matzahs? The filah hocha says the Gemara, even though indeed Rava doesn't have proof, he nonetheless lehodarbe, he did not retract from that, and Rava held as a mitzvah, and one should soak the grains, the wheat grains, before using them for the matzahs. How do we know that Rava stuck with that opinion? Da'omalu lahani demahapcha kipi, because he said to those that were turning over the sheaves of the stalks of grain while still in the fields, kimafchisu, when you turn over the stalks, when you turn over the sheaves, which is way before it ever came into contact with water, hafichu l'shem mitzvah. Make sure that you're doing that, whatever you're doing, for the sake of mitzvahs matzah. So you see here that the ushmarta mes hamatzah is doing what you're doing, l'shem mitzvah, is way before water came in, or rather held, was way before water came into contact with the kneading process. Alma Kosova, you see from the fact that Rava told the people in the fields to do that, that he holds Shimur Meikara, that you need to guard and protect the flour or the grains from the beginning, even from the harvesting stage, from the beginning, Va'atsoifoi Bo'inon, until the end, until it gets baked. And here Tosis asks an obvious question, that if Rava says that you have to actually do the shimur, you have to protect it from the harvesting stage, then how does he know that you have to soak the grains? Because we thought till now that you have to expose the grains to water and protect it doesn't become chometz. But now that you're saying that there's a concept of protecting them from becoming chometz, and all that water shouldn't get to them, or whatever the shimur is, he even told them, when you're turning over the sheaves, do it l'shem mitzvahs matzah. If so, then that's what Ushmarta Misamatsu says. So how do you know you have to soak the grains? So Tosfos discusses that. Continues the Gemara, Marbarei de Ravina, Menaktele Ime, his mother would collect for him, would store for him, Ba'arva, in basins. She would store from the beginning, from when the stalks, from when the grains were first harvested, she would take the wheat kernels and watch them and protect them and put them aside in special basins that would be kept aside from anywhere else. Continues the Gemara, Hahu Arva, there was this ship, the Chiti, that had a lot of wheat inside it. The Tov'o B'chishta, and it sank in the river Chishta. And obviously they managed to salvage some of these grains of wheat that had become soaked or had become exposed to water in this Chishta river. And Sharia Rava Lizvuna L'Nachrim, Rava said, listen, it's too risky for Yisrael to eat it. They might be chomets. But, or maybe they knew it was chametz. But either way, Rava says you're allowed to sell it before Pesach. Sell it to a goy. It could be they knew that this was already chametz. It was definitely chametz. And what should they do? Rava said, sell it to a goy. You can sell it to a goy before Pesach. Eisei Rabba Bar Livoi L'Rava. Rabba Bar Livoi asked Rava, how can you sell it to a goy? Why are you not afraid that the goy is going to then sell it on to Yisrael? And maybe it's not going to be clearly discernible whether they're chametz, and you're going to cause a Yisrael who's going to buy this chametz from the goy to eat chametz on Pesach. Where do we see such a concept that you're not allowed to sell something to a goy in fear that he's going to sell it on to a Yid, to a Yisrael? From the following, Beged she'ovad boy kilayim. If you had a piece of material, a cloth, that got lost, a thread of kilayim got lost. We know that you're not allowed to sew a garment with wool and linen, and that this garment had one strand in which made this beged kilayim. Then if you have, and you don't know where it is, if you know where it is, remove it. But you don't know where it is. And we'll soon see that why, if it's discernible, if you can see it, why it might be easier. Hareze loyim korenu lenochri, you're not allowed to sell it to a goy. And not only that, you shouldn't make with this material, shouldn't use this material as a saddle blanket, lechamoyer, to sit on a donkey with it. And there, what we're afraid of is that maybe somebody will then take part of this saddle, because you cannot see where the kilayim is, may take part of this saddle blanket and sew it as a patch onto his clothes. Whilst it's a saddle blanket, there isn't an issue of kilayim. This is something that Tosus discusses here. But the issue is that he's going to take some of that saddle blanket and sew it into his own, into a garment, and that's going to be also. You're allowed to take this garment of kilayim and make it for shrouds for a dead person, because the dead person himself doesn't have any mitzvah so averus. There's no issue with kilayim. We're not worried anyone else is going to use it, because the garments that are used for a dead person are not allowed to be used for anyone else. And therefore, you can do that with it. But you're not allowed to sell it to a goy. Lenochri ma'ita maloi. Why are you not allowed to sell this garment to a goy? Lav, is it not mishum dehodar mazvin the Yisrael? He's going to afterwards sell it to Yisrael, who's not going to see the strand of kilayim and wear kilayim chas v'shalom. Hoda omar Rava, he changed his mind. Rava before said that you can sell this wheat that had become exposed, had sunk into the water, you could sell it to goyim. He changed his mind and he said, Lizvinu kabo liyisrael. Sell it to Yisrael, but it's just before Pesach. So sell it just kavo, a small measure of a kav at a time. And therefore, they'll be able to, in small quantities, they'll be able to eat it before Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon. Ein moililin esakdeira bepesach. Sometimes when you have a pot of food and you want to thicken it a little bit, you want to add some flour to it. So the Braisa says, ein moililin, you should not add flour esakdeira into a pot of food bepesach on Pesach. V'horoitze sheyimlil, if you do want to add flour and you're afraid it's going to become chometz, noisin esakemach, put the flour in, v'acharkach noisin esachometz, and then put vinegar into it. And what the vinegar will do is, the vinegar will, so to speak, cook, or will have a cooking effect on the flour and stop it becoming chometz. V'yesh oimrim, others maintain, af noisin es ha-chometz v'acharkach noisin es ha-kemach. You don't have to first put the flour and then put the vinegar, and the vinegar will in turn make sure that nothing becomes chometz. You can even put the vinegar into the dish first, and now it's a mixture of vinegar plus the other ingredients, and then put the flour in, and even though the vinegar's already become mixed, the vinegar will stop the flour that's after it's put in from stop it from becoming chometz. Asks the Gemara, man yesh oimrim, who are these yesh oimrim, these others who say that you can even put the vinegar in before the flour? Omer Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Chisda assumes it to be Rabbi Yehuda. Titnan, we learnt in a Mishnah. Ha'ilfus, if you have a frying pan, vakadera, or a pot, that was full of some food item, it was on the fire. It's got the status of a keli rishon. And not to be confused with Hilchas Tumah, this is in Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Shabbos, one of the lamates melachas is cooking, and cooking is primarily done in a kli rishon, in a vessel that was on the fire. Even when it's removed on the fire, if it's still in the same vessel, it's considered a kli rishon and has the ability of cooking any ingredients you put inside, not any, most ingredients. So the Mishnah says, Ha'ilfus v'akadeiro she'eviron merusochin, if you took it off the fire when it was boiling, which means it was a clear rishon, lo yitein letoichon tavlin, you're not allowed to put spices into it, even though you've removed it from the fire, because in turn you're cooking the spices on Shabbos, it's also to cook. Aval noisen letoich ha'ka'ora, a bowl, which is a keli sheni, you don't put a bowl on the fire. You take food that was cooked in a pot on the fire, and you ladle out the food and put it into a bowl. The bowl is called a keli sheni. A keli sheni is not mevashel, doesn't cook on Shabbos. Then you're allowed to put spices into a ka'ora oiletech tamchoy, a different type of a dish, a bowl, which is a keli sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, la'kol hu noisen, in a keli sheni, you're allowed to put spices into any type of food. Chutz midavo sheyesh bo chaymetz v'tzir. But if this food that you have in the keli sheni contains vinegar or fish brine, which is has a cooking effect, even though it's in a keli sheni, you're not allowed to put spices into it because it's considered cooking. So you see here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you've got a dish that had chaymetz and tzir inside it, and you're not allowed to add spices to it. So you see that the vinegar, even though it's mixed with other ingredients, would still have a cooking effect onto anything that's added into it. Asks the Gemara, V'noikmukar of Yosi, why do you Rav Chisda say that the Yesh Oimrim is Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't you say it's Rabbi Yosi from the following Braisa? Ditnan, we learnt in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Shoyron b'chaymetz, v'chaymetz tzaymson, that if you have some grains if you have some kernels of grains that had become exposed to water and they've now become somewhat bloated and you're afraid they're going to become chometz, then you can soak them in vinegar and the vinegar will cause the grains, the kernels, to contract, to do the opposite of becoming chometz. It will stop them becoming chometz. So you see clearly that you can take the flour, the grains, and shoyron b'chometz and put them into chometz. You're not putting the chometz onto the flour, onto the grains. We're obviously talking about grains, not flour. You're not putting the vinegar onto the grains, you're putting the grains into the vinegar. So you see that even if the vinegar is there first, it has that cooking type of effect that will stop it becoming chometz. Says the Gemara, no, the reason that I didn't assume that the Yesh Oimrim is Rabbi Yosi is Ki Yosh Minon El Rabbi Yosi, when it could be that the only time Rabbi Yosi says that the order doesn't matter is Hanamila Da'asya Be'ena, when you have undiluted vinegar, then it doesn't matter if you put the grains into the vinegar or the vinegar onto the grains. Aval Alidei Tarivas, but when you have a mixture of vinegar and other ingredients, how do you know, Loi, maybe in that case Rabbi Yosi will say it does not have a cooking effect. And we saw before, the Yesh Oimrim that we're talking about here is talking about having vinegar mixed with other ingredients, that the Yesh Oimrim say, Af noisen es ha-chometz v'acharkach noisen es ha-kemach, you can put the flour into the dish even after the vinegar is mixed in. That's talking about vinegar in a mixture. You don't know that Rabbi Yosi says that in that case the vinegar will stop the flour becoming chometz. That's why we said it was Rabbi Yehuda who was talking about Bishl on Shabbos, where there's other ingredients with the vinegar, and nonetheless, you're putting spices onto it will have a cooking effect and will be asa. In the case of Shabbos, it will be asa. Continues the Gemara Ula Omar. When we saw before in the Braisa, Tonu Rabbonon, we said, Ein meilil in esakdeira b'pesach, you shouldn't add flour into a dish on Pesach. If you want to do that, the Tanakhama said, first put the flour in and then the vinegar will then, in its undiluted form, will directly come into contact with the dish and stop it becoming chometz. V'yesh oimrim, others say, as we discussed just now, that you can first put the chometz in, even though it's going to get mixed with other ingredients and become somewhat diluted, and v'achar kach nois nesakemach, and then you can add the flour, and the vinegar will have its effect and stop the flour becoming chometz. Ulu said, echod ze v'echod ze, also, you should not put the flour into this dish at all. It doesn't matter if you put the vinegar first or if you put the flour first. Don't resort to the vinegar and don't put flour into a dish. Why? Mishum leich leich omrinon nazira. When a nazir comes close to a vineyard, and we know a nazir is not allowed to eat grapes or anything that comes from grapes, we tell the nazir, go away from the vineyard. Schir, schir, don't walk through the vineyard. Go round the vineyard. Lekarmoloi tekariv, don't come close to the vineyard. You're making yourself too vulnerable to an issa. Here too, don't take flour and put it into a dish. It might become chometz. And don't hope that you're going to resort to vinegar one way or another of protecting your dish. Continues the Gemara. Rav Papi Shari Le Leburdiki de Bei Resh Gelusa. The bakers by the Resh Gelusa, Rav Papi allowed them Le Mamcha Kadera to thicken a dish, Bechasisa with these oven dried grains. That's how Rashi understands that Chasisa means the Avshuna that we saw before on the Flametes on base. And there's a discussion how could Rashi say that? We said before that you're not allowed to do this. The question is how that works here. But that's how Rashi learns the Gemara here, that Rav Papi allowed the bakers of the Resh Gelusa to thicken their dish with these oven-dried grains. Omarova, Ikad Shori Kihom Kihai Milsa, Beduchta de Shchicha Avda. Would anyone allow you to do that in a place where there are servants, and these servants by the Resh Gelusa, in the Resh Gelusa, which is a place where there were servants typically, where Avodim, these slaves or servants, would be mezalzel, they will disregard the halachas of Isurim more than others, and you're going to allow them to put on Pesach, to thicken their hot dishes, or to thicken their dish bechlal, nothing to do with hot, to thicken their dishes with these grains? Ikad Omra, there's another version, that Rava Gufei Mochi Lo Kidra Bechasisi. Not only, in the first version, Rava actually had a question, how could you, Rav Papi, allow it? In the second version says that Rava himself would thicken the dish would thicken his food with chasisi, with these oven-dried grains, and Rava allowed it. In the Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.